Welcome to the Marlton Assembly of God Sermon Podcast. Our church is focused on developing fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. We hope you are blessed by this message.
That came along with it. As you know, we're studying the story. We're taking the 31 major biblical stories. And by the way, we are at number 24 and we're in the life of Christ. Let me just quickly review and bring you up to speed. There are four sessions. And by the way, a man by the name of Max Lucado just took the book and put it in novel form. It's the Bible. If you would like to read the Bible in novel form, you could download it on your phone or maybe you have a Bible, of course. But there's four sessions, if you will, on the life and birth of Jesus. So the birth of Jesus, chapter 22. Last week, we looked at John the Baptist, who baptized Jesus and his ministry began. Today, we're looking at no ordinary man. And next week, if you read ahead in the story, chapter 25, the story. And so I want us to start with boat number one, when Jesus was teaching his people. So you're going to see a miracle with the boat. This is what the scripture says. One day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. People want to know the truth. They were listening to what Jesus was telling them. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. Jewish rabbis of the day, they wouldn't stand. Like today we stand and we speak. But in Jewish days, the rabbi would sit down. And so Jesus sat down in the boat. If you ask yourself, why did they push him out into the water? Well, let me just say this. You know I have a microphone on. I also work at the Gap on the other days right there. But the water is a reflector. So they pushed Jesus onto the boat, and as he spoke the word of God, his voice would ricochet or echo off the water so hundreds, if not thousands of people could hear his voice. It was like a microphone. And what happens is people are interested in the word of God because the word of God brings truth and it brings life transformation. But the Bible also tells us that there's miracles that go along with it. But let me just tell you how Jesus spoke. Jesus spoke in what was called parables. Everybody say parables. They're actually stories with a greater significance, a spiritual significance. I wrote a description here for you. Jesus often spoke in parables to teach people. These stories, typically drawn from nature or everyday life, pointed out a central truth that called out an intended response to the listeners. So when Jesus was preaching, he would talk about the soil or the seed or trees or fish to help regular people understand what this deep spiritual significance that took people in people's lives. And so people wanted to hear the word of God. And so Jesus in the boat was teaching them the word of God and it was reflecting off the water. But right around that same time, Jesus did a miracle. Whenever there's preaching of God's word, there should be miracles that go around it. The miracle in this story, and we continue in our gospel, look what it says. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, Simon's name is Simon Peter, put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Simon answered, Master, we've been working hard all night and haven't caught anything. So if you can imagine, they're fishermen, and it wasn't like a fishing line, like you would go fishing like in Medford Lakes. They would take these big nets, and then the current would drag them, and if there was a harvest, they had all these fish. But that night, they fished all night, and they did not catch any fish. But Jesus said this. He goes, I want you to take the net that you've been fishing on this side of the net, on the boat, and throw it on that side of the boat. This doesn't make sense. By the way, miracles don't make sense unless Jesus is in the miracle. Watch this. Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break and the miracle took place. But I want to overemphasize this. Peter said, listen, Lord, we've been doing this all night, but because you say so, we will obey. Everyone in this room, Jesus has words. They're written down in the scriptures for us. They're proclaimed. And if we'll listen to him, miracles would take place in your life. It doesn't make sense. We've been working hard all day. Fish actually go underneath the boat, hello? But because you say so, I will do what you tell me to do. Ladies and gentlemen, in this room, if you would do what Jesus told you to do, you'll see miracles take place in your life. It may not make sense. You say, Lord, but in the natural, I've worked hard and done all this stuff. But because you say so, I will do this. The 26th president of the United States said this: a thorough knowledge of the Bible is worth more than a college education. Let me say that again. Ladies and gentlemen, moms and dads who are raising kids. And by the way, I have two kids in college. I'm not against college. College is good. But listen, if you're a young person, you're going to send your young person to a school away from you and they're not spiritually mature and they're going to spend $30,000 to $50,000 of your time and not go to class and get drunk, let's just kind of go back. Because college is big business and it costs a lot of money. There are certain disciplines. I have two kids in college. They get about half in scholarships, and even with that, that's a lot of money. But one is studying to be an educator and the other is a physical therapist. They need that education. But for the last 18 years, I've been teaching and walking them through. They've been sitting in services, learning the word of God. Watch this. A thorough knowledge of the Bible is worth more than a college education. If you just send your kids to a liberal arts school and they don't know the truth, they will be inundated with doctrine. It will be confusing and proclaimed as truth, even though it's not true. And so at some point, especially because of the cost of it, I think you need to figure out, it's not that college isn't worth it. I think college is a good experience. But many of our young people are not ready to go to college. And when you go to college, you wind up changing your degree anyway. President Barack Obama's oldest daughter, I don't know if you know this, but she went to Harvard, or I think now she's in Harvard. But now Harvard won't let you go into college right out of high school. You have to take 1 year in between. Because they're finding that usually there's some maturity that needs to take place. And I suggest to you, ladies and gentlemen, that you should give some time to the Word of God. So even if you take off 1 year, say, Mom and Dad, I'm just going to work. I'm going to go to community college and maybe stock up some basics. Every mom and dad, you should be shouting me down right now with some praise. So come on. And by the way, my kids are in traditional school, so I'm not against it. But I know they're not out drinking, they're not sleeping around, and they're not goofing around. They tell me, Mom and Dad, we're serving Jesus and all that stuff. And you just have to balance it, because how much it costs, a thorough knowledge of the Bible is more important than college tuition. But listen to what the world says. Do you remember about 2 or 3 years ago, it was called global warming? What do they say today? Climate change. You have a couple really cold winters, all of a sudden like, whoa, climate change. Ladies and gentlemen, what is being portrayed to you and to your family as fact is actually not fact at all. It's not based on science at all, but it's being declared across the airwaves as true. Young people, God's word said that God created the heavens and the earth in 6 literal days. Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. Jonah really did get swallowed by a whale, and Jesus Christ is coming back again. And we should be rooted in the truth of the word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not angry, I'm not mad, but science still proves that a man's a man and a woman's a woman. There are the chromosomes. God actually invents science. So when someone says, oh, science, if you're taking science without God's word, you're not really being accurate or true. So everything that you need to know about human sexuality, human relationships, about God, emotional life, it's all found in the scriptures. But if you don't know the scriptures, you're going to believe a lie and it won't work. But if you listen to Jesus Christ, even though it doesn't sound like it, that doesn't make sense. Like, you know, you grew up in school and you've been taught all this stuff. But Lord, because you say so, we throw the net on the other side, you see this great harvest. And what I'm sensing at Marlton Assembly of God, I'm sensing this great move of God. People are hungry to know what God's word says. So ladies and gentlemen, we have a great ministry program called Ground Zero. Even if your student is maybe going to do a different type of discipline in life, maybe go 1 year to Ground Zero. Develop personal disciplines. If you're a young person, you sleep in every day to 11 o'clock, you need at some point, I'm not talking about 11 a.m., 11 p.m. You don't even know that there's a daytime. At some point, you're going to have to build personal disciplines into your life. Moms and dads, maybe you need to get off social media. You need to stop watching TV at night and read the Bible. Take an online Bible class. Say, Lord, I want to learn your word, because the word of God will anchor you and it will help you in the rest of your life. Now listen, the American dream means if you have enough money and everything goes your way, you won't have problems. That's a lie from Satan himself too. Jesus said this, watch this, about his word. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. This is what will happen to you. Don't be foolish. This will happen to you, moms and dads. Teach your kids. Tough times come. The rains come down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house. Yet it did not fall, because he had his foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rains will come, the streams rise up, and the winds blow and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowd were amazed at his teaching. You say, why? Watch this. Because he taught as one who had authority. Jesus' words are different than anybody else's words. If you'll look at them and you'll do them, it will change your life. Now let me just tell some people in this room, especially if you have a tough personality or you have an addictive personality. You get stressed out, anxiety, lust, anger, jealousy. You can't control your eyes. You have adulterous thoughts. You get jealous at everybody, whatever. You have these things that make you very passionate. You say, John, I'm a passionate man. I can't stop. I'm just a human being. Let me help you a little bit. The word of God is so powerful and active and alive today. So a lot of people say, oh, it's old. No. The word of God is alive and active today. You just don't know it, or you just haven't applied it to your life. And so what I suggest to you is when you have something that's a burden to you, depression, discouragement, stress, anxiety, whatever you have, that you would do a little Google search and you put Bible verse on stress. And they'll give you a couple of them. And you take one that bears witness with your heart. You write it on an index card. You turn off all social media and you memorize that scripture over and over and over till you believe it and it comes into your heart and your life changed in Jesus' name. So listen, God's word is powerful. But you need to memorize it. How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to God's word. You must inundate yourself with the truth of God's word. Everything else is a lie. Everything else is broken. But because Jesus says so, we throw it on this side, and that's where the miracle takes place in the house. Amen? Number two. Boat number two, and this is found in Luke chapter 8. This is when Jesus was sleeping on the boat. By the way, who looks forward to a little sleeping this afternoon? Come on. That's what golf is for, sleeping while the golf is on. People are like, you're going to watch the golf? Yeah, for about 2 seconds, and I'm going to fall asleep. That's exactly what golf is for. That's God's gift. Anyway, Luke chapter 8. One day, Jesus said to his disciples, let's go over to the other side of the lake. So they got into a boat, and they set out. As they sailed, he fell asleep. A squall came down on the lake so that the boat was being swamped, and they were in great danger. Do you ever notice about Jesus? He's never stressed out. He's just sleeping. Everybody's stressed. I'm gonna die. Jesus just chilling. I mean, he's not like, Jesus is in heaven. He's not like, oh no, we have a problem down on earth. Jesus is always cool. He's always good. Watch this. The disciples went and woke him saying, Master, Master, we're going to drown. He got up and, watch this. He got up and rebuked the wind and raging waters, the storm subsided, and all was calm. Where's your faith? He asked his disciples. In fear and amazement, they asked one another, who is this? He's just a Jewish guy. We knew where he came from. We knew his parents are, but who's this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him. He's no ordinary person. This guy has to be of God. He has supernatural powers. He's miraculous. He must be the Messiah. And I just want to tell you, you may be going through winds and waves today, but there is a Savior on board. And he's not stressed out about your situation. You may be, and I may be. I have times where I'm like, oh, Lord, I don't know what's going on. But there is a dynamic that when you call on the name of the Lord, the miraculous power of Jesus, and he gets out, he stands up on the boat, and he declares peace. In Mark's gospel, he said, don't be afraid. There's some of you that are afraid today. You're afraid what might happen to you, your family or whatever, or maybe the worst thing is death. You're afraid to die. By the time you leave out of this place, you do not need to be afraid to die, even as a young person. You can know that you know that you know that if you die today, that you'll have peace and be with God forever. But also, take warning, if your life's not right with God, you will not just automatically go to heaven. That would destroy heaven. Heaven is a perfect, pure place. Only the people that accepted Jesus washes our life clean of pure and holy. That's who goes to heaven in Jesus' name. So the Bible says in Romans chapter 10, watch this. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Let's read it together. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So in a moment of difficulty, they called on the name of the Lord, and the Lord quieted the waves. But what's even bigger and more important than that? For your soul. If your soul's not right with God, it's not at peace, full of sin, you can call on the name of the Lord today. Say, Jesus, I'm calling on your name, and I need you to come and save my soul. That's the greatest miracle that God ever wants to do for somebody, and he wants to save people in the house today. He wants to save you, but you must call on his name, for he's faithful and he's good. You need not be afraid, but you can trust him. And that's why as a church, on Wednesday nights, we say, it's called the United Prayer Service. We invite the young people, say, we have to learn how to call on the name of the Lord. This place was packed on Wednesday night of just people dependent upon God. Where does your help come from? Our help comes from the Lord. Well, what happens if my parents aren't available or my bank account goes a little low or my dreams are dashed? The Lord is faithful. He's good. And he has a way of kind of waking up at the right time and helping us out for his glory and for his honor. That was miracle number two. He's always on board. And number three, boat number three, and maybe instead of me reading the scripture, why don't you watch this quick little video about Jesus who walks on the water and then challenges Peter to walk on the water. Watch this.
It's a ghost. No, Thomas. It's Jesus.
No ordinary man walking on water. I did it one time, but it was frozen. It was just frozen. But this is the third miracle in the boat. The disciples, Jesus actually pushed them out there to gain strength in their faith. But then during the middle of the night, they're fighting for their life. They thought they were going to die. And, you know, Jesus, he's so good. He starts walking on the water. By the way, this is a true story. They thought it was a ghost. Some people kind of misunderstand Jesus. They thought he's a ghost, but he's calling Peter. He invites Peter. By the way, God's calling you, people in this room right now. Jesus is calling you. For some, he's calling you to salvation. Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened. I'll give you rest. You're too stressed out. You're hustling around. Most families are going crazy in Marlton, hustling behind their kids. Jesus says, come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened. I'll give you rest. Take my teaching, my yoke upon you. And you'll find rest for your souls. The Lord wants to bless you with peace and grace today. He's good that way. You hear his voice calling you to salvation, fulfillment in Christ, eternal life, Jesus being the most important things in your life. But for us who are already believers, the Lord calls us to walk by faith. And so he's, come on, Peter. And Peter's, he's in the boat. And by the way, this is almost elementary teaching, but there is a sense that if you're going to walk by faith, you have to get out of the boat. If you want the miracles in your life, most people, especially most Americans, they just kind of like, but God calls us to put our backs up, upright, focus our eyes on Jesus, and you have to get out of the boat. The righteous will live by faith. I don't know how it all works out. I usually want like a 5-year plan. Anybody else? You want to know exactly what God's asking me to do? Like, how are we going to pay for this, Lord? Like, who's going to be my friends? What's going to, nope. The Lord just simply says, I'm calling you to walk by faith. And I found this is what you have to do. Not only get out of the boat, that's number one, but secondly, you got to keep your eyes on Jesus. If not, you're like Peter, you're going to start to sink. I wish I could say all the time I keep my eyes on Jesus. Sometimes even as a pastor, I kind of get nervous about stuff and I start to kind of fall. But God's good. Doesn't he lift us up? He gives us grace. He helps us. He strengthens our faith. So what's the Lord challenging you in your faith? For some of you, it might be tithing. You say, well, how can I give 10% and actually do better or have God's blessing? I don't know how it works. All I know is if you'll obey the Lord by faith and obedience, he takes care of his people. For some of you, it might be extending you giving to missions. You say, oh, I'll do $5. $5 is nothing when you go to TGI Fridays and you spend $125. That's not faith. God's just trying to develop your faith. Some of you, he might want you to go on a mission trip to Camden or Philly or even go overseas and say, God's calling me to walk by faith. Or maybe he wants you to go to your neighbors that you know real well. You grew up with them. Oh, they're going to think I'm crazy or whatever. And you're going to go reach people in your community and invite them to church. You say, well, they're going to look at me kind of funny, but you say, this is about souls. And God wants to extend out your faith. And so moms and dads, you should be building into your kids faith. Let them believe that God's good. He's big. The most important thing is it's greater than gold or silver is their faith in God. They believe that there's a big God who could take care of it. The goal is not just to come to church. The goal is to build faith. And so what we do is, okay, Lord, I almost fell. Okay, Lord, if you come back next week, the sermon's called Don't Rock the Boat. All right, here we go. But say, Lord, okay, I'll keep my eyes on you, but Lord, you better come through. Could you imagine him putting his foot down and how God sustained him? So when you walk by faith and obedience, then you get to partner with God's supernatural presence of Almighty God. Listen, I am not talking about taking a risk. I'm talking about listening to God's voice in your life and responding in obedience. That's how you live a miraculous supernatural life. Every man in the room, I just speak from a man's point of view. Every man wants their life to count. At the end of your days, you don't want to look back and say, I didn't let my life count. I'm not talking about taking a risk. I'm talking about walking in obedience and walking by faith. Now, ladies and gentlemen, right now, I'm not right now in the boat. There was a prophecy. There was a man who came to our church back in October, November, and it was during missions convention, and God was already putting our hearts on the staff about going to a Saturday night service. But he said, what's your goal for missions convention? And by the way, our church and you, we've always done really well. We give $300,000 or $400,000 a year. It's like in the top 50 to 60, 70 of all Assembly of God churches. But God, we felt like God was really extending us, stretching us to get out of the boat. And I'm like, Lord, is this you or is this just me just thinking? Because like, I don't need to be thinking right now, because we felt like the Lord told us to give $1 million to missions. You know what I felt like doing? Getting right back in the boat. Like, oh, come on. Have you ever felt like, because like, Lord, I don't want to be embarrassed. I don't want the people to think I'm a crazy person. How do you go from $300,000 or $400,000 to $1 million? That's like $600,000 or $700,000 increase. I'm like, oh, Lord. But you know what? I'll put it before the congregation. I don't think it's my vision. I think the Lord is leading us. So ladies and gentlemen, I can't lie to you. If the Lord told us to give $1 million, I can't say, well, I'm just going to keep it to myself. That would be lying to you. But if the Lord is leading us, then I have to tell you. And so we told the congregation, I think like $500,000 or $600,000 of commitments committed. So I'm like, Lord, we still have to get like $400,000. And we're going to go to a sanctuary expansion. And we have bills. Does anybody else have bills to pay? I'm like, Lord, what are we doing here? I'm like, okay, Lord, I'll keep my eyes on Jesus. But if I start going down underwater, Jesus, I need you to grab me. You know what? Do you know a lady out of the blue this week said, I want to give to missions $65,000? I said to myself, yeah, it's wonderful. To do ministry in India, I said, well, I started looking at myself. I said, well, maybe we will give $1 million this year. My heart sprung with faith. But you'll never get the $1 million if you never walk by faith, if you never say the truth. I mean, I just get around the people that I kind of trust, like deacons and the staff, and say, listen, I think that's what God's saying. I'm not out of left field. I'm like right here. I'm saying, guys, what do we believe? The missionary said, like, what's your goal? We never really have a goal. The goal is whatever God puts on people's hearts, but I feel like God was speaking to us. By the way, it's not Pastor John's vision. Don't do that to me. It's too much weight. Pastor, we like your vision. I don't think it's my vision. It has to be the Lord's vision. And so I said, okay, Lord, we'll keep our eyes on you. Ladies and gentlemen, if we keep moving forward by faith, we might actually give $1 million to mission. Wouldn't that be incredible? So I need to tell you something else. All my life, I have not had contacts or have to wear glasses. But in the last like 4 months, I look down at a book. I can't see a thing. I go out to eat with our family or whatever, and I can't even read like how much we owe. I think I'm giving the waitress and the whatever way too much tip. I can't see. I'm just like making up stuff. But I can't see one word here. Do you know we're in year 2019, but next year will be 2020? So God's given us a little bit of a direction, and we're calling it 2020 vision. This will demand us getting out of the boat, keeping our eyes on Jesus, stepping onto the water, and walking by faith. This is a walk of faith. I have 2020 hearing, but I'm asking the Lord to give me 2020 eyesight. So I want to walk you through what happened last Sunday night. The membership of our church, when everybody does it together, what's that called? Unanimously, through verbal vote, voted to do what's called the 2020 vision. I want to show it to you, but I want to do in the background of knowing this, that we have to get out of the vote. We got to get out and vote. We got to get out of the boat and keep our eyes on Jesus. Watch this. Let me show you. This is going to be the sanctuary. The sanctuary will look close to the field house. Does everyone understand where you kind of pull in? And by the way, I don't know who these people are right here. The next slide. This is the other angle, and this will be the addition of about 3,000 square feet of kids' space. And by the way, I don't know who these people are over here either. They're just walking around. Next slide. From the inside of the sanctuary, if you can imagine this, we're going to pick up 300 new seats. So this is currently where we're sitting right here. Will is sitting right here. Pastor Liz, right here. The guy who came in late, right here. You see that guy? Get him right here. I love this thing. Stop paying attention. All right. Where are the bathrooms? Over there. All right, here we go. Let me show you the next slide. So from my angle, seeing out, that's what this will look like. This right here. This is called stadium seating. There's a height restriction in this town of 30 feet. You can't do a balcony. This is actually more of a modern way. What you see here up top, these are like some sound panels. Just so you know, right here, this is called drywall, of course, but between this drywall and the actual ceiling is about 6 feet. So we could take the drywall off, paint everything black in a modern way, hang up some sound panels, and we would pick up about 6 feet for modern sight line. A sight line, you can go back 75 feet. I think this is only about 30. This is very doable. But the reason why I'm sharing this with you, because I want to tell you about what's going to happen. The people that are going to sit in here are all going to be new people. You don't know them, but that's okay. They're going to be new to our church. You're going to have to be nice to them, unless they're going to turn away and walk out. And then I had to zap you with the laser. That's how it's going down. Jimmy O'Rourke. These will all be new people, and my prayer is none of them have actually go to church anywhere else. Or they're de-church, or maybe they grew up Catholic. They need the Lord. But this is what I believe is going to happen. They're going to sit up here. They're going to be on their cell phones. They've never been to church. They don't know. Their kids, they don't know. And then the gospel is going to be preached. Will and Megan, you're going to set them up. Talk about how God is good. They might even believe it. God is good. But then they're going to hear what God has done for them through the person of Jesus Christ. And the people that are sitting here are going to get up from their seats at the end of the service, and they're going to walk down here. Do you see this? They're going to walk down here and give their lives to Jesus Christ. Can you imagine that? Could you imagine us growing? Not be say, hey, look how many people we have, but just people like me and you who are just, you know, Jesus ministered to fishermen and farmers, just regular people that can understand what he's saying. They got out of the boat, say, Lord, I want to be a part of it. I want to be part of your miraculous thing. I want to walk on water. I want to do stuff. And humanity kicks in where we get nervous and we start to sink. But Peter is with Jesus. And Peter would be used powerfully to declare the promises and the power of Almighty God. And God wants to use everyone in this room to get out of the boat and to walk by faith and see what God will do. There's actually a reason why we're doing it. It's not really for seats, although this church service is mostly packed. There's a reason why we went to Saturday night. We had to go to Saturday night. It's not something I want to do. It's just a lot more work. It's a lot of work. Our next step would actually have to be to have 4 services, 2 on Saturday and 2 on Sunday, and then you have to look for a new pastor. It's just too much. But our real problem is it's not the sanctuary seats, although that will really help us. The real problem is this. We need more space in our Marlton Christian Academy preschool, and we could pick up 50 new students. Ladies and gentlemen, right now, if you called the preschool and say, I want to get my 2-year-old in, 3-year-old in, we have to turn you away. If you know anything about running a preschool or a preschool business, you don't want to turn anybody away. First of all, it's great ministry and it's a great opportunity. You have everybody hired. It just will help the overall church. But we are turning people around. The reason why we had to go to Saturday night is because our preschool and our nursery and preschool for little kids is totally packed. I don't want to actually do this. By the way, I don't really want to. I wish there was just miraculously more chairs. I don't really want to. This is a lot of hard work. But what we're going to do is pick up 50 new paying full-time MCA preschool parents. A larger lobby, so it'll be double the size, and new modern bathrooms. Ladies and gentlemen, cushion toilet seats for everybody. We're going to have a little blowing on the backside, so just cool your back. They will be state of the art. We're going green, my friends. We're going green. The next one. By the way, if you're going green personally, we don't want you to come to church. I'm just joking. All right, here we go. This is a current nursery right here. This is what you see. Like, that's what that is over there. If you dropped off your kids, this is what we're going to pick up with the Lord's help. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And by the way, this is all sketches. Obviously, things have to be done to code and all this stuff. This is just the very beginning phases of it. But we're using 2019 to get the permitting, the proposal. You have to do this no matter what. The congregation at Marlton Assembly of God, the membership, I think there's about 200 people here, they all voted unanimously to step out of the boat, take this first step, and to trust God. And so this is what we're looking to build on, if you can imagine it right here. So the restrooms that you're right here will be right here. A little cafe, come through the front doors of the church, or you're parking over here. But this will be the state of the art, all of this for little kids. 300 new people at each of our services are going to give their hearts to Jesus Christ. Could you imagine if you're sitting right there and you hear 300 people behind you singing "How Great Is Our God"? Oh, heaven will be rejoicing about a spirit-filled church that's making room for more people in Jesus' name. Now, there you go. You can clap. Do we have any more slides? I can't even remember. Is that it? That's it? Is that it? I'm sorry. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is going to be an act of faith. For $1 million, I wish I could say my dad was rich and he's going to write off the difference on December 31st. I think God wants us to do it. I don't know how, but I think God wants us to do it. This is not my vision. I really don't believe it's my vision. I believe if I died right now, the new pastor came in, the vision would move forward. But at some point, it's going to have to be our vision. Not, hey, people come up, Pastor, I like your vision. Nope, it's not mine. Either it's of the Lord or it's not. We need to follow the Lord. But there's something that happened in the Old Testament with Moses that I think can happen in a modern day world. Watch this. So all the skilled workers who were doing all the work of the sanctuary left what they were doing and said to Moses, the people are bringing more than enough for doing the work of the Lord commanded to be done. Then Moses gave an order and they sent this word throughout the camp. No man or woman is to make anything else as an offering for the sanctuary. And so the people were restrained from bringing more because they had already had, what they already had was more than enough to do the work. Could you imagine if you get a big Christmas bonus this year? Could you imagine if God blessed you with opportunities? And you say, God, you're blessing me to give it to the sanctuary. I believe people in this house, God's gonna bless your socks off, not just to take you to the next tax bracket, because you're gonna say, Lord, let's get the work done in Jesus' name. It's not Pastor John's thing. It's our thing. Now listen, you can help this young bloke out a little bit. If you're sitting on a couple $1 million and you don't know what to do with it, bring it to God's house. I'm joking, but you know what? 2 years ago, almost to the day, there was a lady in our church. I wasn't asking for money or the sanctuary, nothing. It wasn't time. Today's the time for such a time as this. Someone came up to me 2 years ago today and said, Pastor, I want to be the first one to give $200,000 for the sanctuary expansion. I'm like looking around. Did someone ask for money? Do we have drawings? Nope. But they sprungboarded forward. I think there are people that God's going to use supernaturally with the gift of giving that's going to get out ahead of it and say, Pastor, let's do this together. Some of you, God has, you have that capacity. You want to make a tremendous difference. Me, I got 2 kids in college. I don't have it. If I had, I meet people all the time. Pastor, if I had it, I would give it to you. Most people don't have it. But if God moves upon your heart, would you come see me? Just say, hey, what do we need to do to get this project done? Don't let me stand up here saying, hey, come on, let's do it. Nope. You come to me and say, Pastor, come on, let's get this done. I'm standing with you. This is not my project. But I do think there is a sense that we have to get out of the boat. Keep our eyes on Jesus. Say, okay, Jesus, if you want to do this project, 2020 vision, we'll keep our eyes on you. If you'll provide the miracle, we'll move forward in Jesus' name. Amen. But I can guarantee you, if we stay in the boat, that's still a decision. We're going to play it safe, Lord. But you personally, I think God's calling you to follow him. Frankly, you're right. Follow Jesus. And I'm not raising money. I'm talking about our life to Jesus. Say, Lord, here's my vision. I want to do what you call me to do to get out of the boat and to follow you. Would you stand with me in the Lord's presence? Would you just bow your head and close your eyes for one moment? This is the most important moment in the church service. So if you're distracting or talking to somebody, just please don't for one moment. If you've come to God's house today and Jesus is calling your name for salvation, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. You say, Pastor, I need to get saved. I'm not right with God. Let me reinforce to you how much God loves you and cares about you and has a plan for your life. And he's the one that does the saving. You don't have to save yourself. You can't save yourself. Jesus died on the cross to take away sins. And while we're yet powerless, Christ died for us. And he wants to bring salvation to your life. You take that next step, you get out of the boat, you walk by faith, and you believe in your heart that Jesus rose from the grave. The Bible says you'll be saved. You confess it with your mouth. You say it. You make it your salvation. Jesus, come into my heart. I call on your name. Wash me of all my sins, and I'll live for you the rest of my life. That's called salvation. It's in your own personal life. God can save you. He can pull you out of the junk that you're in. You say, John, I've gone too far. I've made bad decisions, bad choices. I've done wrong things to wrong people. Today, God wants you to call on his name. He's the one who cleans you up. He's the one that gives you power to be victorious and holy. It's his blood that covers over our sin. It's his grace that pulls us to salvation. So I'm not going to beg you or distract you too long, but you've come here and your heart is racing inside of you. It's the Holy Spirit. Say, I need to give my life to Christ. I need to start serving him. I've given enough time to the world, to the devil, and my own self. Today is my day to give my life to Jesus. God has been speaking to you all service long. Through the word, through the tongues of interpretation, he's speaking to you right now. Give your life to Christ. Give your life to Christ. Give your life to Christ. No one's looking around, but right now you slip up your hand and say, Pastor, that's me. I need to give my life to Christ. I want Jesus to come into my heart. I'm stepping out of the boat, and I'm going to walk by faith, and I'm going to trust him, and I'm giving my life to him. If that's you, if you'll raise your hand, I'm going to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you, but you say, that's me. I need Jesus to come into my life. If that's you, I want to see your hand. I want to pray for you. You're giving your life to Christ. Five people last night, three people this morning, two people in this service. Anyone else? Say, I want to give my life to Christ. Three people. Anybody else? I want to give my life to Christ. Jesus Christ, my Messiah. No ordinary man who could change my life. Anyone else? The Lord loves you so very much. He cares about you so very much. There's a second group of us. Three people lifted their hand. There's a second group of us that God is calling you to step out of the boat and to walk by faith. I don't know what it is. I gave you some examples. And he's saying, would you follow me? Don't worry about the winds and the waves. You keep your eyes on me. Don't worry about Pastor John or the church or anybody around you. You just focus on me. And God is calling you right now to take a step of faith. The first step could just be coming to an altar. Something about moving your feet and bring closer to God and say, I'm going to come to an altar. And whatever the Lord is telling me to do, I will follow the Lord. I believe the Lord is calling missionaries. He's calling preachers. He is calling people who want to be devoted to him, use their skill set for God. Say, Lord, here I am. I will follow you. The Lord is trying to intensify your faith walk, your journey, your spiritual life. And today the Lord is inviting you to come. The three people that lifted your hand, I want to invite you to come with everybody else. We're going to sing a simple chorus and say, Lord, I love you. Jesus, I love you. We're just going to invite the Lord's presence deeper into our hearts. And today, right now, we respond to an altar call and say, Lord, here I am. I'm available for you. I'm going to follow you. As soon as we start singing, you three that lifted your hand and everybody else who wants to follow Jesus and get out of the boat and walk by faith and hear his voice, I want you to come. Stand around this altar and we just start singing unto the Lord, and you come and we'll bless his name and close the service with a word of prayer. Come on, let's sing it together.